Good evening and welcome to tonight's broadcast of Sunday Night Live from Cornerstone Church in Wheeler, Texas, along the Kingdom Keys network of stations. God is on the move, hallelujah. God is on the move in many mighty ways. God is on the move, hallelujah. God is on the move today. Beginning in 1986, this program has been an outreach to the community with compelling Christian talk, Bible study, guests, and callers. And in the last days, we are here to remind you that God is on the move in your life and in your local community. I see a generation standing on the truth in each and every nation. God is on the move.
Anytime the gospel stirs a searching soul, and someone says, send me, here I go. I know.
Your host for the program is Natalie Thomas. Join us now for tonight's broadcast of Sunday Night Live.
Good evening and welcome back to another episode. I'm so excited to be here another Sunday night with you guys. Tonight I've got Dustin Weatherly here with us, and he lives actually here in Wheeler. I believe you and your wife and son moved here recently.
Yeah, we've been back now for just a little over a year.
For a little over a year.
A little over a year now.
Okay. And then, of course, I've got James Thomas, my husband, sitting next to me. I'm excited to have him with me again tonight. We might just make you a co-host.
Yeah, I'll bet you.
Yeah. Well, Dustin, it's so good to have you here tonight and to join us.
Well, it's good to be here.
And would you just share a little bit about yourself and let our audience know who they're talking to?
Sure. I've been in apartment development for like the last 15 years until the last year. And my wife has wanted to come back to Wheeler for probably 6 or 7 years now. And I never felt released to come. And then I went on a hunting trip one time, and then she asked me to ask God, which I wouldn't ask God. I was happy where I was at. I was making really good money, living in a beautiful brand new home. I was in my comfort zone.
Yes.
So why ask for something that you don't want?
Do you make it an answer you don't want to hear?
That's where I was. But then I was feeling it, you know. And so I went out and I asked God. I was like, God, are you calling us back to Wheeler? And it was an immediate answer. And so I then asked God. I said, God, you're gonna have to show me a sign. Like, I want to see a sign. So I'm out in our hunting ranch in Oklahoma, and I look over, and there is a bald eagle standing there. And I mean, it's next to the barbed wire fence, and it's almost as tall as the barbed wire fence.
Wow.
And I've seen them out there before, so that's not that, but I've never seen one set still. Like, they usually, as soon as they see a truck, they're gone. But this one set still, and then it looked at me, and then it just, with the easiest motion you've ever seen, just went poof. Boof, and it was up in the air, and God said, I'm calling you back to set people free.
Wow.
And so I knew then, and so I called my dad, and I called my brother, and I called my wife, and I told them, I said, God's calling us back to Wheeler. And I immediately went in Monday and gave my notice. I mean, because once I heard from him, I wasn't going to be in disobedience, even though, like, I knew my comfort to walk away from, you know, a six-figure salary to go make $15.50 an hour working out at the ranch doesn't make sense to anybody. But I knew that my calling, that God had a calling for me to be here. And so we packed up and put our house on the market. I think we had, 12 to 14 offers within the first 24 hours.
Wow.
Of it being none of them under asking price. So I know, like, God was in it. He was blessing it. And so then we moved up here. And I've been in a ministry called Elevate Him, and they've been in this area a little bit, but then they feel like they're not called to this region, and I had to separate myself from them because I'm like, I'm called to this region. Like, I know, and I can't serve with you guys when I'm called and God's calling me to this region. I said, He hasn't told me specifically what for yet, but he's called me here. And so I'm going to come and I'm going to be obedient. And I'm just asking, what's my next step? And I'm not asking him to give me the finish line, but just what's my next step? And he's showed me, but it's just been that next step. And when you text today, you asked if I could do this. And so I was thinking, okay, yeah, I can do it. I didn't know if today would be good or if another night would be good. But then I had this peace that I should do it today. And God's been talking to me about discipline in our children and the lack of discipline I see today. And not only just in non-believers, but in Christians. I see a lot of Christian parents, you know, that do not discipline and do not really believe in discipline. And I see these parents so frustrated and getting walked over and stepped on by these kids, you know, but they don't discipline. And the scripture is clear on discipline. It's not a mystery. I mean, it is clear. Spare the rod, spoil the child. And my heart's just been burdened for these parents. And I've seen some, you know, just here in our church, that the children just walk all over the parents, you know. And us as men, James, a lot of times, and I've seen it, and it's not our generation, but like the generation a little bit under us that are raising kids now, it seems like the women are the ones having to discipline. Every time I see any type of discipline, it's coming from the women. And the men need to be the lead in that. And I don't see that as much as I think we need to. You know, I remember when I was growing up, if I got discipline from my dad, it was done the right way. Okay. If I got discipline from my mom, it was done the wrong way. And I'll explain. So when my dad disciplined me, he would come in and he had complete control of his emotions, right?
Mm-hmm.
He had complete control of his emotions. He would send me to my room, and I always thought that was for, you know, to make you sit there and wait and just build up the, no, he was getting control. He wasn't going to come in. He didn't discipline me when he was in a state of emotion.
He knew what would happen.
So he would always calm down. And he would come in, and then he would sit down with me. And then he would talk to me 15, 20 minutes, 30 minutes about what I did wrong and why and the consequences that, you know, that could have happened or might have happened or you know, what that could lead to. And then he would tell me. He said, son, this is two licks. You're going to get two licks for this. Or if it was something real bad, I'd get three. He never gave me more than three. But he would always set the parameter. Okay, then after I'd get disciplined, he'd give me a few minutes time out. He'd believe in time out. It was time out to kind of stop crying and let him come back in. But then he would love on me right after he disciplined me, right? He would immediately love. Now, my mom, on the other hand, my mom was this way. She kept moving the line, like, don't cross this line. And then she'd back that line up. And she'd, don't cross that line. And as kids, we're going to keep pushing that envelope. But she just kept moving that line until she snaps, right?
Mm-hmm.
Now her emotions are out of control. And so now when she's disciplined, it is not proper. She's out of control. You might get four licks. You might get five licks. She might hit you on the ankle. She might hit you on the back of the neck because we pushed her to the point because she kept moving that line.
Mm-hmm.
God doesn't move the line.
That's right.
When we cross that line, there's consequences. And God disciplines us not to say, okay, you did wrong. I'm gonna break you for that. He disciplines us for correction. He wants us to correct and get on a different path and a different way. A lot of times, sometimes when we get in the when we discipline our kids out, it's like, you did this, now you're gonna get this.
Mm-hmm.
And we're not thinking about, okay, what they're gonna do next. This is just a reaction. We're now in a state of emotion. Our emotions have gotten us worked up. And then I see sometimes now, today, people discipline, but they don't do it very hard. Like, the kid doesn't even flinch. It doesn't even do anything. Well, don't even do it. If you're going to discipline.
There's no consequence, really.
Yeah, there's no consequence. See, I think that's the problem with today, in today's time. And when we grew up, we had, like you talked about the other day, we had rifles in our pickup trucks. We could carry knives in our pockets to school.
Mm-hmm.
But there was discipline, right? You know, there was a healthy fear. I see kids that have zero fear of their parents. Absolute zero fear, right? Well, we should have a healthy fear of our Father. I mean, Scripture says that, a healthy fear. And that's saying, hey, he is in an authoritative position, and I'm going to give him respect. And I know that if I mess up, there's consequences. See, when I grew up, I always thought God was this, don't do this, don't do that, thou shall not, thou will not. But he was doing that to protect me, right?
Right.
It's all set up to protect me. Now, as a kid, you think it's all to punish me, all not to let me go have fun, but he's setting up guidelines to protect you. Well, as parents, if we don't set up guidelines to protect the kids, they're going to keep pushing. They're going to keep looking for those boundaries. And my dad had a dream, and this was a confirmation that I knew that I was supposed to speak about this. He had this dream that that he went into this room, and this kid was just screaming. He was out of control. And he immediately tells me, I think it, like this kid's got a demon on him, you know, or an animal on him, whatever you want to call it. And so he's going over there to, like, pray. He's like, in Jesus' name, you need to leave. And he says, nothing's happening. And he said, kid, are you hurting? And he said, no, I'm not hurting. And then he starts just screaming and going crazy again. And he's looking at the parents. And the parents are just standing there. And he goes, oh, you're not the problem. Talking to the little boy. And he looks over at the parents and goes, you are. And I feel like that was God saying, hey, you need to talk about this. Because, you know, we have to discipline our children as Christians. And I remember one time when my older boys, I've got two older boys, one's 25, one's 23, and we were at a country club, and it was at a real nice dinner, and we were in a private room, and it was with Taylor's family, and all of her cousins were there, and one of her cousins, I remember, came up, and because they were throwing bread and just running around and yelling and chunking iPads, and my boys were sitting there. We didn't do that. And her cousins came up to me after, and she goes, I want to just tell you, you have some of the most behaved boys I've ever been around. She goes, what book did you read? What's your secret? And I just kind of let her go. She goes, she gets out a piece of paper and pen. She's ready for me to drop the knowledge. And I said, I spank them. And I mean, the look she gave me, I might as well said, whenever time they get in trouble, I put them in a dark room and don't feed them for 4 days.
Yeah.
But that's how society sees it. They see it as, you know, it is wrong to spank your, it is wrong not to. You know, my son Wyatt, I bet in the last 4 years I've spanked him zero. But he has got a spanking for me before. And so there's no 1, 2, 3 count. No, I just say Wyatt, that's it. And I don't get angry. I never yell at Wyatt, never yell. You know, if you're always constantly yelling at your kids, you need to take a look at yourself, because that's not right. If you're yelling at your kid, he better be crossing the street in front of a semi. That's the only reason you should be yelling. You should be in complete control of your emotions. And when you're not in control of your emotions, when they're doing something wrong, you just keep pushing the line, and you just keep pushing your temperature up and up and up and up. And that kid is looking for, he's looking for the boundaries. You know, James, can you imagine us going out and playing football, and but there's really no out of bounds, and we'll say, hey, you can throw a flag, but we probably aren't going to penalize you. You know, what kind of game would we have? Who would win? I mean, it would be total chaos. Well, that's how these kids are. They're, you know, they're looking for boundaries, and they have none, and they just keep going and going and going and going and going and going, and then they just go off the deep end, and you end up in these school shootings and all these crazy stuff, because they're looking for someone to say no and mean it.
You know, it makes me think about that scripture that says that the Lord disciplines those that he loves. And and then it goes on. I don't exactly know how it's worded, but basically if he's not disciplining, if you're not being disciplined, you're not being loved. And that is what, you know, God wants to discipline us in a way, which I believe as in parents, you know, as an example, as a parent. And that's just what came to mind as you were speaking there, that.
Well, I've printed off some scripture. I mean, if you go look them up, there's probably 30 or 40 scriptures about disciplined kids, but none of them contradict each other. You know, Proverbs 13:24, he who withholds his rod hates his son, but he who loves him disciplines him diligently. And if you love your kid, which I know the Christian people love their kids, even non-Christians love their kids. But we got a discipline to show them love. And by withholding discipline, it's saying, I don't really, truly, 100% love you. You know? And go ahead.
Without getting into too many specific details, but, you know, in some recent events, you know, we've had some things happen that in our schools that, you know, they're looking to the wrong source to fix the problem. And that is one thing that I was talking to someone, to a lady one day, and it's, I believe that it's in the home. Mm-hmm. That it goes back to, we had that healthy respect for weapons, and you have that healthy, if you respect your parents, then that carried into your school, and you respected your leaders in your school, and it came through. And so that just came to my mind as you're talking about, that's what it makes me think of, is that's where we need to get back. We need to get back to the basics of what you're saying here.
Well, it's exactly right. When we took God out of church, God is the original disciplinarian. But he disciplines us out of love, right? He's not doing it as punishment. He's doing it as a correction. So we pull God out of all the church, out of the schools. And then we go, what's the problem?
Mm-hmm.
Where'd all the discipline? We got all these unruly kids. And you've taken the main thing out of it. And then now it's been out of the church since the 60s. Out of the school since the 60s. Now it's out of people's homes.
That's right.
You know, we want to look to anybody else to raise our kids. But it's on us. It's our responsibility. It's not the schools. It's not the churches. It's not our friends.
You know, I don't remember the exact numbers, but it was in late 2020, when the whole pandemic deal they had, all the homeschooling deal. But they took a survey and asked parents about teachers raising their children, basically, is what it – I don't remember exactly how it was worded. But it was like 60-something percent, well over 50% of parents were fine with the schools raising their children, mm-hmm. Teaching their children morals and stuff that normally that a parent – almost everybody said a parent should teach their kids. Mm-hmm. These people, well over half, like it was in the 60 percentile, that they were fine to let, they need to get these kids back to school because that's a teacher's job. They're being paid. We need to let them raise these kids. And I was shocked that I don't want a teacher raising my kid. Look, teach them reading, writing, arithmetic, and then I'll teach them life. You know what I mean? But that's where our society has switched, is into, I think a lot of, because you have so many single parent families, and you have two jobs. People have to have two jobs to get by, or they think they do, or whatever. But anyway, I think a lot of that. So they have lost the time, and they have not made time. And if someone else will do it, that let them do it. And whether that's not a matter of they're doing it right, but they're doing it. I think that's a lot of what we got into. You know what I mean? Slowly.
Absolutely.
And now we look back and we're like, how did we get here?
Yeah. I read a deal the other day and they were talking about more kids today than ever before in the history are being raised by their grandparents.
Mm-hmm. Well, and the fact of the matter is, it's hard. It's hard being a parent.
Yeah.
And sometimes we don't know what to do. And it's going back to the scriptures that you have. You said you have these scriptures about parenting. It's going back to God and going to the Word and how to handle a situation. And when something's hard, that means you have to work at it. Mm-hmm. And not everybody wants to work at it.
Absolutely. And, that thing they talk about, I've gone too far. My kid's too old. That's not true. I know with my older boys, I was disciplined too hard. I was too harsh. I wasn't really walking with God, and when I was talking about like discipline out of emotion, I was doing that a lot, and very, very strict. Then with my other son, like Wyatt, like I'm walking with God, I'm trying to do everything, and then I get too lax, right?
Mm-hmm.
So my dad comes to me one time, and this has been years and years ago, but he said, "Hey, I see Wyatt getting away with a lot of stuff." I'm like, "Yeah, but then I realized, yeah, I am letting him get away with too much stuff. But I didn't want to go that far. You can't be too far left. This is God's. Just do exactly what God says, and it works.
That's right.
It works. When you discipline and you're under control and your emotions are under control, and you do it, the kid responds. I know one time, one of my cousins, his boy came in and was staying with us. His parents were there, and he was outside, and he just looks at me and spits on the floor.
Like in the house?
Yeah, in the house. And I grab a paper towel and say, "Hey, Bob, we don't do that here at my house." And I'm wiping it up. And then he goes to spit again.
Oh, no.
Well, I busted him. I didn't ask for his parents' permission, which probably should have, but I didn't. Mm. But the rest of that whole weekend, he sat in my lap. He was bringing me hamburgers. He wanted to be around me. I mean, he just, if I was watching TV, he wanted to watch TV. If I was going outside, he followed me around. He was looking for that. Kids look for that.
They want it. They want the rules and they want discipline. And they're not going to tell you that they want rules, and they're not going to tell you they want discipline, but they do. You know, a good friend of mine, him and his wife had split up, and they had a daughter that was, she was a teenager, I think 14, 15, maybe 16 in that range. She was at the good rebellious age, you know what I mean? And so, but his wife had remarried, his ex-wife had remarried, and then he had remarried by this time. I think it's about 13 when they split up. Mm-hmm. And then she's about 16, maybe 17 now, but she's driving and, you know, so, but of course he had rules, you know, you're going to do this, you have to be home 10 o'clock, whatever, right? Mm-hmm. Had all these rules, and his ex-wife just let her do whatever she wanted. Mm-hmm. Well, she had come over here and stayed for a while. She didn't like the rules, so she went on to go back. So she went back, and she got to do whatever she wanted, you know, and she enjoyed that for a little while. But she actually came back to her dad and said, I want to move back with you. So there's no rules at mom's house. I can do whatever I want. Mm-hmm. She said, if I want to stay out and drink and do drugs till 2-3 o'clock in the morning, mm-hmm. they don't even care. Mm-hmm. She said, I don't even feel like they love me. Yeah. I want to come over here where you set rules for me because I know you set the rules because you care. Mm-hmm. And this is coming from like a 16, maybe 17 year old girl admitting, you know,
she knew that discipline meant love.
Yes. That if a parent lets me do whatever I want, then she says that they don't even, I don't think they love me. Mm-hmm. I don't think they care about me. Mm-hmm. You know, and when a teenager will tell you that, mm-hmm. you know what I mean? That says a lot about a teenager, really. Mm-hmm. But I mean, so at the time, some kids think, you know, you're just being a dictator mm-hmm. and whatever, you know, and all this. But deep down, they really like the rules. That's something we can't get too strict, you know what I mean? Because you can do the opposite. Yeah. But they really do. They function better, especially small kids. Mm-hmm. If you know, because you could put a kid on a routine, mm-hmm. you know, look, you got to be
what's
in bed.
Expected.
You know, they know what's expected. Look, you throw your stuff down, you pick it up. You know, if they know the rules.
Yes, yeah,
those
set,
kids just do
set
better.
Set parameters and they stay with them.
Right.
That's right.
Better. Yeah.
Shoot, I do better like that too sometimes when I set up my own parameters.
Absolutely. And it's hard. I mean, discipline's hard, but the reward, it's just like sowing in. You will reap a reward. And if you don't discipline, you're going to reap a reward. A reward's coming. It's either going to be good or bad, but something's going to be coming.
That's right.
And today, the parents, the husbands and the wives need to work together as a team, but the husband needs to take the lead, you know, on this. Needs to take the lead in this and quit, like, putting 100% of this on the... I've seen, like, so many, and even in this community and in Alita where it's from, it's just like the dad just kind of, the kid's acting all crazy. He just kind of walks off and lets the wife... I mean, it's like, it'd be like someone leaving. You got a war going on, and you look up, and your guy carrying your ammo is gone.
Yeah.
I mean, you're in a spiritual attack, spiritual battle. Then you got to unite together on the same front.
That's right.
And get through this, you know, and not let it create division.
And also on the flip side, being a mom. You can't be the type of mom that lets the dad do all the discipline, too.
Absolutely.
You can't say, dad's going to take care of this mm-hmm. and not ever discipline. It's got to be, like you said, the parents have to come together and they're a united front and they work together to go towards that goal.
And that's a lot of in marriage, too, minded, you know what I mean, couples. And they have one doesn't believe in, you know, the other one does, and so it's what do we do? How do we do it? So that's something that, you know, I mean, just have to come together, discuss that. You have to have that.
Yeah, you got to come. You got to get together as a couple, mm-hmm. and Christian couples go to the Word.
Yeah, right.
If you have an argument, let the Word tell you who wins that.
Right, right.
You know, if you get in unity, and if you both keep chasing after the Word of God. You can be, one can be way right, one can be way left, but if you keep chasing, now it takes a minute, but eventually your paths cross, and then you're in alignment. So just be patient with the other one. If your spouse doesn't believe, just say, hey, let's try this. Can we try this for a little bit?
Right.
But I need you to be on my team. We need to have a uniform front.
Right.
That's right. And, you know, you had said that, you know, your older boys, that you were more harsh with them.
Absolutely, I was.
And really, James and I, that's how we were. We were harsh on our kids. And, of course, I think all parents want to go back and change something.
Right.
Can't. So what would be one thing that you, I mean, because you, Wyatt, is your youngest, is that correct?
That's correct.
And so what would you say to those, and you said it's never too late, so what would you say to those parents that have been harsh parents?
So the first thing you got to do, whether you haven't disciplined or you've disciplined too much, okay, there needs to be a change. And there needs to be an apology. You need to set your kids down, and you need to say, hey, Mom, Dad have been doing this wrong. Whether it's been too harsh or too lenient, but you need to apologize. And you need to tell them, we are asking you for your forgiveness. We have messed up in this area. We've tried, and we did it wrong. And there's going to be a correction. But we, first of all, we want to ask for your forgiveness because we messed up. Mm-hmm. And let them know, that's like, hey, boom, we're resetting it. It's our fault. Whether it's whatever direction you want to go, it's our fault. I remember when I was meeting a counselor, Ted and I were going through so much stuff, and I first met him. He goes, hey, I just want to let you know that everything is your fault, because if you were being the spiritual leader of your household, y'all wouldn't be in my office right now. It's like, whoa. Okay. But it was reality check. And that's the same thing. You just tell your husband, tell your wife, hey, we've messed up in this area. So let's go to our kids and tell them. And when I mess up or tell, I go and I ask forgiveness from my kids too, because it rolls downhill.
Right.
Yes, it rolls downhill. And so in whatever it is, you know, if you lose your temper, whatever, and you yell, go ask for forgiveness. Go ask for forgiveness. Just humble yourself and ask for forgiveness.
And they learn through that. They learn how to treat people the same way when they are willing, when their parents show them that in themselves.
Right.
And as you know, that was actually, I've gone to my kids and I've, you know, hey, I'm sorry. You know, I had these ideas, you know, and I went to them. And it really, now that they're adults, they're in their 30s, well, almost. But anyway, the relationship is shifting now because we've talked about it. And there's been a healing there, and there's been, but then they do come and say, thank you for disciplining us. We see these kids now that don't get disciplined and they just need a good old butt whooping, you know, and that kind of makes you feel, okay, you know, maybe it wasn't quite, as bad, but you know, that they see that and that they did learn from us being the discipline that we, you know, that we gave them.
The other thing I want to talk about just on that is the proper tool, too, for discipline.
Okay.
Okay? It's not your hand, and it's not a belt. It is a paddle. You can be controlled and accurate. A belt can kind of go all over the place. A hand should always be for love. So don't hit with your hands. Don't hit with a belt. Get a paddle. Put their name on it, whatever you want to do. But that's what it's a rod. It's something that's controlled. It's something that when they see, they know. It's not a spoon. What if I said, James, I'd like for you to dig me a swim pool, and here you go, here's your tool, a spoon. It's not the proper tool for the job, right?
Right.
We need to use the proper tool for the job. It needs to hurt. It needs to sting. I've had people ask me, well, how do you know if it's too, if they're not crying, you didn't hit them hard enough. Well, I've got a tough kid. No. You didn't hit them hard enough. I mean, I get hit so hard I was doing the trying to get the air. You know, you have to make it sting, or it's not, or you're not doing any good. But you're in complete control of your emotions, and when you do it, you're in control. And you know, if you're not seeing any sign that they don't cry, they don't wince, you're not hitting them hard enough. You know, if you're using a little spoon or a spatula, that's not.
Or they laugh.
Or they just take off running.
Yes. Yeah.
You've got to make the discipline. If your discipline has no consequences, which means it doesn't hurt, it's not effective. It's not. You're doing them a disservice. You'd be better off not disciplining them at all than just barely, and they run off. That doesn't do them any good. It needs to hurt. It needs to hurt.
Now, this may be I don't know if this is a good thing to talk on the radio, but God made tushies to handle that.
Yeah.
You know, and when done correctly and properly, there's no bruises, there's not marks left. And I made the comment about they needed a good old butt spanking, but you know, it's there is a way. There's a correct way to discipline your children, and there is an incorrect way.
Yeah.
And that's what you're talking about. You're talking about the correct way to discipline a child.
Absolutely, and in control. And that's why I keep saying in control. You have to be in control of your emotions. If you're not in control of your emotions, if you're that upset, you need to keep cooling down until you've calmed down, and then discipline them when you're in complete control of your emotions. Because if you discipline them when you're not, then the over swinging, the not hitting the proper location, all that can come in place. But if you're in complete control, then the kid, like, you know, if you're around a horse and you're all nervous, the horse is nervous. If you're all steady and fast, the horse goes, hey, this guy knows what he's doing. Mm-hmm. Same kids know that too. If you're all in there angry, the kids all worked up. If you come in and calm, and it even though they know spanking's coming, they go, hey, Dad, I'm getting a spanking, but Dad's in complete control. He has complete 100% control of his emotion. He's talking in a calm voice. He's not yelling. He's not screaming. He's not throwing stuff around. You know, he's telling me how many licks I'm going to get. And then he's loving on me afterwards, which is very, very important. Because after discipline, love on them. Love on them. Most of the time they're going to come to you, but if they don't, you go to them and love on them. And love and love and love on them.
And so, as you're talking about this, will you go ahead and share some of these scriptures? You said you had some scriptures. Would you read a couple more scriptures for us in regards to this discipline?
Here's a few. Proverbs 3:12, for whom the Lord loves, he reproves, even as a father corrects the son in who he delights in. Proverbs 13:1, a wise son accepts his father's discipline, but a scoffer does not listen to rebuke. Hebrews 12:7, if the discipline that you endure, God deals with you as sons, for what a son is, there whom his father does not discipline. Proverbs 19:20, listen to counsel and accept discipline, that you may be wise the rest of your days. Proverbs 23:3, buy truth and do not sell it. Get wisdom and instruction and understanding. Revelation 3:19, those whom I love, I reprove and discipline. Therefore, be zealous and repent. That's a father talking there to us.
Mm-hmm.
But there's just, I mean, you just can just get on Google and just type in, scriptures about discipline in a child, and they're just boom, 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 boom. They just keep coming up.
That's right. You know, and it makes me think about, like when we teach our child, for instance, mm-hmm. to not walk out into the road.
Right.
Well, we're teaching them that. Because we don't want them to get hurt. Mm. And I know this is what you've been saying from the beginning. We're teaching you that if you go out into the road, you will get hurt.
Absolutely.
If a car hits you.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not that we're trying to say we don't want you to have fun and play in the road.
Mm-hmm.
We're trying to protect you.
Mm-hmm.
And think about a parent that would allow their child to walk out into the road, or would even push mm-hmm. their child out into the road in front of the vehicle. We would think that would be absurd.
Mm-hmm.
And so on that flip side, I think about these scriptures you're reading about when God sets up certain rules or certain motions and things in place to protect us. And it's not to keep us from enjoying life, but to live a good and satisfying life.
Absolutely. 100% he does that. He sets up guidelines to protect us, not to keep us from having fun.
And rules is not a good word, because I know that I just don't like that word. It's guidelines, and mm-hmm. I'm glad you said that. It's guidelines.
You know, one thing that people, and I've done it before, like you tell a kid, can't do this something, and then they'll do this. They'll say, why? They're not being rebellious. They are asking you a question, why? That when they do that, the response is, because I said so. That's not the right response. You explain it. Take time to explain the why. Well, why can't I go play in the street? Well, here's the reason why. Come here. Look, see that semi truck? If you got in front of that truck couldn't stop in time, and you would die. Then they know the why. And then it computes in their little brain. Okay, that's why. It's not that I can't go have fun. It's because it's dangerous and I could get really hurt. But we want to just say a lot of times, you know, we want to just get on. This is because I said so. No, if they ask
the question.
Because
I know better and I said so, yeah.
Yeah, and that we've heard it 100 times, but it would just take the time. If a kid asks you why, most of the time it's really because they don't know. And take the time and answer the why.
And you know the difference between when they're just playing the why game mm-hmm. versus really wanting to know why. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm kind of laughing over here because I remember when my boys were little, sometimes they would just run off. And so I would just be like, look, you can't run out in the middle of the road. That car, it could hit you and kill you and you would die. And so I was trying to teach them that. But then they got to where they were really afraid. Like they would cry to mm-hmm. have to walk out across the road. Uh-huh. And so, you know, I probably went to a little extreme of that. But it kind of makes me laugh a little bit just looking back to think about that. But anyway, and then when you were talking about paddles, do you remember when you made that one paddle and showed it to the kids?
Yeah, we had put new siding on the house out of 1x6, and there was a piece of it left, and I had cut it off and carved a handle out, you know, mm-hmm. and made just a handle out of it. It was a big old piece of 1x6. And they were like, we're going to hit us with that?
Yeah.
That's right, boy.
And I agree with you. I think mm-hmm. that's some good advice for parents out there.
And if you're a parent and you're struggling with this and you're like, I just don't know, go ask somebody. If you see some kids that are really well behaved, just say, hey, go talk to them. Ask them, hey, what do you do?
That's right.
Do you have any tips? Do you have any advice? I guarantee most of it's going to be, I discipline my kid, and you're going to have to just get wrapped your head around that this is the way. But go ask people. You know, you don't just have to listen to us here right now and take our word for it. Go ask people. You know,
That's right.
if you're wanting to be a farmer and you're wanting to start out farming, you see this guy's got an amazing crop of corn. Well, go talk to him, right? Whatever he's doing is working. You know, you see kids that are well behaved, go talk to the parents because what they're doing is working.
That's right. And you get around people that are successful in the ways that you want to be successful in to learn from them. And so, yeah, that's good advice. Or even if you don't know of anyone, go to your pastor or go to mm-hmm. your church and he can get you hooked up with mm-hmm. someone that can help you with that.
And if you can get your kids in line at a younger age, then it's not so crazy when they get older. If you can't get control of them at 5, 6, 7, 8, when they get to be 17, 18, your life's going to be a living hell. Mm-hmm. It's going to be, and you can't go at 18. Hey, I'm dropping the hammer. It's too late then. It's too late. So it creates so much strife in the marriage. When you don't discipline your children, because the wife's mad at the husband's mad at the wife, everybody's mad at the kids, can't go out to eat, it makes it like a toxic environment. And, it's a real simple solution. You know, you all have been out to the restaurant and just seen, you know, that one family over there, the kid's 4 or 5 years old and he's chunking stuff and he's in control of that whole situation.
Yes.
And could easily be fixed. And I don't blame the little kid at all.
Mm-hmm.
At all. It's the parents and it's our responsibility, to lead up our children in the way that, the Bible spells out clearly.
In the way they should go.
In the way they should go and how we should do it.
Yes. So you had said, if there's anybody out there that if they're struggling with parenting and there's some things that, you know, if you needed some help to just go ask somebody. But would you be willing to pray for these parents that are any listeners that are might be dealing with some of those
absolutely.
Things? Just pray for those parents and
sure. Dear Heavenly Father, I just thank you for your discipline, Lord. I just thank you for disciplining me. I thank you for being patient with me as I learned the proper way to discipline. And I just want to pray over right now the husbands and the wives or the single mom out there, a single dad that has an unruly child and that they just don't know what to do with and they're trying their very best. I pray that you give them the wisdom and the courage to step out and say, hey, let's try this. What will it hurt to try what God says? What will it hurt to take a step towards the Father and put his word into action? And what would that look like in my life? And what would that look like in my child's life? Because I love my child. I want the very best for my child. And for me to give my child the very best, it means they must have discipline.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm looking for boundaries, and my children are looking for boundaries, and I just pray for your wisdom, your discernment, and for you to show me, and for you to put people in my life that can just speak life into me and speak life into my children.
Yes.
And can walk with me through my struggles. And when I fail again, just give me the encouragement to step back up and get back on it and keep going, Lord. And for all the kids that are needing discipline, Lord, I just pray this country needs discipline. We've lost it, and we've just gotten so far away from you. We don't even know what discipline looks like. I just pray that we return to you, and we return to things that are pure and true, and we walk towards you. I thank you for children. I thank you for blessing us with kids. I thank you for my boys, and I pray blessings over them. I pray blessings over the listeners and their family. And I just want to thank you for everything that you do for us. I just pray wisdom in the area of discipline over the listeners right now. In your name I pray this. Amen.
Amen. You know, and so really, talking about being a parent here on the earth, we have a Heavenly Father. And so where do you think all of this relates to our relationship with God?
How discipline relates to God?
Yeah, you know, with how we, okay, so as we as parents with our children, teaching them the ways, you know, teaching them boundaries and listening to correction, how do you think that that would help them and relate to their relationship with God?
Well, when you start doing that, you're first of all obeying His word. And when you're obeying His word, you're under His covering, and you're doing what He's asking you to do. And your relationship with God goes stronger the more and more that we listen to the word, not just in the area of discipline, but in the whole word. The more that we walk, more we look like Jesus, more we talk like Jesus, more we walk like Jesus, the freer and freer that we become, and the closer and closer our relationship with God the Father becomes. But all throughout the Bible, when Israel would, you know, turn their backs, God mm-hmm. would be like, "No, it's not going to happen," you know, and he would make a correction, you know, and then they would go along for a while, and then we do the same thing. The trick is, hey, when I feel like I've fallen off, is, hey, I just need to make a turn. Just keep going back towards God and keep walking towards God in all He says, everything He says. And the more and more that you do that, the more and more this becomes second nature. Discipline is just, I mean, I don't think about disciplining my child at all, Harley, anymore, because I don't have to, you know.
They know,
you mm-hmm. know. It's like I know when I go out in my truck, it's going to start. I just know that. I don't worry, is it going to start? You know, one day the battery could be dead, but I know that I can count on that. And this, I can count on God's word to be true in every area. There's not one area that He's given us that if you do not apply, it doesn't work. There's not one area in the entire Bible that if you don't do what it says, that it doesn't pay off.
That's right. You know, we've been doing here at Cornerstone Church on Wednesday nights, an Inner Healing by Jimmy Evans.
Uh-huh.
And actually the very first lesson that they did was on your relationship with your parents and how you relate that relationship with God. Because, you know, oftentimes that's how children relate to their parents is how mm-hmm. they relate to God.
Mm-hmm.
And
well, I mean, and then you take lots of people, the majority, you know, God says narrow is the path to heaven, wide is the path to hell. So most people you see have never been modeled the right way to parent.
Right.
They just haven't. Like, a lot of us have been blessed to grow up in godly families, and we take that for granted. Like, we go, well, just do what your parents did. Well, no, you don't do what your parents did most of the time.
Mm-hmm. Sometimes that's what's not to do.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. But you can say, like, and I've seen this so many times, like, let's say the kid, the man grew up in a very abusive home. Dad was very physically abusive. So what does he make? He makes a vow. I'm never going to be like my dad, right?
Mm-hmm.
I'm never going to do that, right? Well, he just made an unhealthy vow. Because now he doesn't feel like he can discipline his kid because he can't be like his dad. So he doesn't want to do that, right? he doesn't want to discipline because he doesn't know what help. He relates in his mind discipline to, hey, I take it in my head and gets thrown through that sheetrock. Well, that's not how, that's not what the Bible says.
That's what we talked about last week, you know, and stuff, and in a group on Wednesday night we had back a couple weeks ago, was the same thing. Is the biggest thing about parenting is the biggest majority of us never had a very good example. We had some stuff that we got to say, okay, I know I don't want to do this. Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, I want to do that. We had some goods and bads in our because, you know, there's the world out there that, you know what I mean? People don't have a, you know, just, we don't have that father knows best figure family, you know, we don't have that Leave It to Beaver mom and dad, you know what I mean? They're not there, yeah. You know, because life happens. And if you grew up with a single parent, you know what I mean? If you didn't have a dad in your home, well, how did you know how to be a dad? You know what I mean? Unless hopefully someone from the church, if you were in church, stepped in and showed you that, but you just, like I said, you can't do what you don't know how to do. And so it's a process, it's a learning curve, you know? And so, hopefully, you know, you would think that, okay, me and my wife, we're going to do this better than, you know, than we had it, you know. And if we can get better, then our kids got a pretty good deal, and then they can do, you know, they can do better. But you have so many split homes now that are so, you know what I mean, it's even worse now than it was younger, because almost everybody goes to school. And I don't remember what it was. One of the kids, I don't remember who it was, but there was a young kid this last year probably, that there was only about three kids in a classroom in Wheeler. I don't remember what age they were, but it was three or four out of, say, let's say 25, right?
Right.
So there was about three of them or four of them that had one mommy and one daddy. You know what I mean? The rest of them had divorced and stuff. So you're talking a big percentage there, you know, that one class, you know. But even at, just to say 5 out of 20, that's you're not getting very good. They're not getting very good examples. You know what I mean? Absolutely. To grow up to. So it's hard, like I said, it's hard to know how to be that good father if you never had that good father, or know how to be that good mother if you didn't really have a good mother, or, you know what I mean? And so it's really tough. I know, like I said, it's tough.
Yeah.
And you make mistakes, and you're going to make mistakes. But you can't, like I said, go to the Bible, and when you mess up, you got to, you know, look, God, I'm sorry, but I thought that was the right thing to do, or whatever it was.
And like what Destin said, you know, you see someone that's being successful at it, go ask them, hey, what's going on? Right. And, you know, what are you doing? Help me so I can be successful with my kids, too.
And that, they won't look down on you.
No.
They will help.
Yeah.
They will help.
Yeah.
You know, we have a lot in this town. We've got lots of single mothers, and I've seen, like, just driving, like, people, just women, just screaming at their kid. That's abuse. When you're just screaming at a child, that is abuse. There is power in the tongue. I mean, you might as well take the kid and throw him through the wall. That hurts. You know, you're not in control of your emotions. You've got to be in control of your emotions. If it needs to be a teaching moment, take the time. Get quiet. Have your voice get softer. Calm them down and let them learn something. Teach them.
That's right. And so what else did you want to add to that? You didn't have anything? Well, it makes me, you know, my father wasn't around, and even when he was not a good example. And so, fast forwarding, I'm married now, and I'm seeing my husband relate to my kids, and I don't even know what that's supposed to look like. So then I can come in as a wife and intervene in a way that's not healthy, because the husband, the daddy, is trying to take care and discipline the children, but for me, I've never seen that correctly. And so I had to watch myself as a mom. Back off, let dad be dad, and don't come in and try to intervene in that. And that was hard for me because I was that mom that, you know, loved on the kids, and he was the disciplinarian. I disciplined my kids too, but it was just hard for me not having that father in my home to see how my husband should act as a father to my kids.
Well, when a kid gets hurt, who does he want to run to?
Mom,
right? So she's the nurturer, and that's how God designed women. They're to nurture their children. You know, I'm weaning calves right now, and they're behind our house and they're just bawling. You know, they're wanting to be with their babies. That's just, and that's an animal that God created. How much more of a desire is it in a mother to be protective over her child? So that's just a protective nature that God put in you. But we've got to, as men, we've got to discipline in control, emotional control, for not punishment, but for correction. And when we do that, and the wife comes in alignment with that and in agreement with it, then there is a correction, and the child feels loved.
And it's good.
And it's good.
A good result.
Mm-hmm.
It is. And, you know, and that just goes that there are different roles in the father and the mother. Mm-hmm. And when one of them is missing, there is something missing there.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, if the mom's not, if you have a single parent where the mom's not there, then that nurture is not quite there. And
absolutely.
Then on the reverse side, you know, mm-hmm. the father's not in the home. And so I'm glad that you brought that up.
Yeah, in God's perfect plan, it's a husband and a wife together, and they raise a child. When I know things happen. I've been divorced and had to go through that split raising kids, and that's difficult. It's hard, but it can be done. And if you're going through that, you still have to. If you're divorced, you still have to come together with your ex and come together on an agreement, a plan on this is how we're going to discipline our kid,
that's
even
right.
if we're not together. Like, and if you can do that. You know, it's hard at first, but after you get a little bit down the road, you can do that. I know my ex-wife and I couldn't come to terms with the way she wanted to do it, but at my house they were disciplined, and she knew that, and I was up front with her, and I couldn't make her do that there, but she honored the way I did it. She honored the way I did it at my house. So you can't control, I mean, we can hardly control ourselves, much less someone else.
Right.
But if you're in a relationship like that and you're split, if you can say, hey, if you can come to terms, hey, this is how, let's, you know, our marriage didn't make it, but we still have a responsibility with these children to raise them, and let's get on the same page on at least this for our kids' sake.
So what would be a good help to start out to help parents that, okay, they've been doing it wrong. They're like, oh man, you know, I've been doing it wrong. What would be a good place for them to start getting it right?
Well, like I said, I would ask for help. And if you're going to a church, I'd go get with the pastor, an elder or a deacon or someone in the church or someone that you see and trust and have a relationship with, and just go up and say, hey, I need some help here.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and ask for them. I need help. I don't know what I'm doing, and I don't even know what I'm doing, but I know what I'm doing is wrong. You know, and there's no condemnation in those in Christ Jesus. So if I go to James and say, hey, James, I'm messing up with my kid. I don't know what's going on, but I'm getting super angry, and when I spank him, I'm spanking him too hard, and I can't control my. He's not going to look down on me. He's going to say, okay, I'm glad you came to me. We need to get. Let's put your son aside for just a second, and let's. Why are you so angry?
Yes.
What's causing this anger to rise in you, and why are you releasing it on your boy? You know, he's going to speak life and truth, and he's not going to start condemning me and throwing rocks at me and going, "You son of a gun!" You know, he's not going to do that. If he's a Christian man, he's walking with Christ. There's no condemnation in those in Christ Jesus.
That's
so
right.
He is going to help me get on the right path, and then when I get on the right path, if I'm drowning, I can't save you.
That's,
you know,
right.
I can take you down, but I've got to get myself squared away. And then as soon as I get myself squared away, then I can start working on my other relationship, my wife and my kids. But I've got to get – if you're having an issue with anger and when you're disciplining your kids, there's a root there. There's a problem that you need to come – and it could be childhood trauma. It could be 100 different things, but you've got to deal with that and get that out. Otherwise, you're just going to – what happened to you, you're going to do to your kid, and then it's just a generational curse that's just going to keep going down like a domino. But you've got to have the courage. That's the thing I would say. Have the courage to ask someone for help.
That's good, because I think a lot of men probably tend, because, you know, they're known for, they won't ask for directions.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
And so, And so for men to do that, that's courage. That's courageous. And that's saying I'm willing to do this right for my kid.
Right. You've got to get yourself on the right path before you can, get yourself. If you're the man, get yourself. If you're the woman, get yourself. Then once you get yourself, get unity. When you get unity, then you can start working on your children. But it's like a dog chasing its tail. Unless you get going in the right direction, you're just going to sit there and spin and spin and spin. But figure out there's an issue, an underlying issue, and there always is, generally. If it's anger in your discipline or I'm not disciplined at all, there's trauma. There's something mm-hmm. that happened that you made a vow that I'm not going to be like my dad or I'm not going to be like my mom, you know.
And not even realize it. It's an inner vow.
Yeah.
And don't even realize that you've even done it.
Oh, yeah.
I think sometimes.
A lot of times you didn't verbally say that. You were just like, I know when my oldest son, he watched his mom and I struggle so much financially. He just said that wasn't going to be me. He's like, I'm going to have my finances before I'm ever married. I'm going to have my house paid for, my car paid for. I'm going to have $100,000 cash in the bank. I'm going to have a solid foundation. And he made that vow, which that turned out to be a pretty good one. But
yeah.
we can make bad ones and not know it. Like you said, you can just see something, go, it's never going to be me in my head. Well, you didn't verbalize it, but you filed it away.
That's right.
And those things can really stop you from being the parent you need to be.
You know, and you had mentioned that, take care of yourself first before you take care of the rest. You know, it made me think of, and my daughter had brought this up this weekend, when you go on an airplane and they drop the oxygen, when they go through the whole, if you need the oxygen mask, mm-hmm. they say, put your mask on first before you help somebody else.
Mm-hmm.
Because you need to take care of you mm-hmm. and get you where you are going and then help somebody else.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's what made me think of when you said that is for that oxygen mask.
Mm-hmm.
Go ahead, get you a suck of that oxygen mm-hmm. and get move forward in that.
And if you're the person that someone asks for help, let's just say, someone comes up and asks me for help, and I don't feel like I can do that. There's no shame in saying, hey, that's above what I feel like I'm comfortable doing, but I'm going to find you somebody. And
that's
you go
right.
talk to a pastor, you go talk to, a worship leader, you go talk to somebody and say, hey, this person came up and they need help. They need help. And I don't feel like I'm capable of doing that or being able to explain it. If someone asks you for help, whatever that is, with their kids, marriage, if you can't help them, you point them to somebody that can.
And be honest.
Yeah, and be honest with them.
Yeah.
And be honest with them. But when someone asks for help, it takes so much courage, and there needs to be an answer, a response, especially among Christians. There needs to be help. And if you can't do it, you can find somebody that can.
That's right.
It doesn't take, when somebody asks you, it doesn't take you anything to go ask someone else and just keep asking and then check back with them. Hey, have they called you? No, they haven't. Let me make some more calls. Be an advocate for them. So when they know, hey, next time I ask for help, I can go to them. And I know if they can't answer it, they're going to find me someone that can.
That's right. They're going to help
me. They're going to go to war for me.
That's right. That's right.
You know,
Destin, all this has been really great information. I'm so glad that you brought this tonight to share. I think it's a subject that needs to be talked about. And it needs that people will need help. And what better place for them than to come to the church? That's what the church is. That's what we need the church for. Help you with raising your children. Help you with your marriage. Help you with whatever it is that you're needing help with. Come to the church. And
yeah, I've always said we ought to take the signs off and just put up a hospital.
Yeah, hospital. That's right.
Yeah.
But I have to tease you a little bit.
Okay.
So your wife says you need to move back to Wheeler.
Mm-hmm.
And you said, what, six months?
Six years. 7 years, yeah.
And I just laugh because sometimes that's how, if you hear a lot of people, the God tells the wife and the husband's just not quite ready to hear it yet.
Yeah. Oh, and I was afraid to ask. She had put in her office, she had on the wall 79096 in these big wooden letters. And she was praying for that almost every day. She would go in her office and she'd look at that and it would remind her to pray for this county. And
wow.
And so she's been praying for this county for 6 or 7 years now.
Well, we are glad that you guys moved back, and we are so glad to have you guys to be a part of Cornerstone. I know that God has been rallying, I believe, people from all around areas. to come for such a time as this. And I believe that God is using these people and using you and your wife to get to where I believe that he has for our county. And so I just want to thank you for coming.
Absolutely.
And sharing tonight.
Absolutely.
It was really good. And so if you are listening out there and you would like to get in touch with Destin, you can email me on my on our website, sundaynightlive.org. There's a link that you can go in there, and I can get you in contact with him if you would like to ask him some more questions about parenting, or maybe he can get you in touch with somebody that can help you. Or also on our website, we have our message past shows archive that you can go back and listen to and share. And Jim, if I correct me if I'm wrong, but were you going to go in and put some of Mark's shows on there?
Yes, we're in the process of doing that right now.
So if you would like to hear
within the next week, we're going to have several shows from a couple of years ago with some of Mark's Bible teaching on it.
Yes, so. And so that's really exciting for those of you that want to still listen to some of Mark's stuff. It's going to be on that webpage.
Yeah, we will.
So, thank you guys so much for listening tonight, and we will see you next week. Have a good night.